an unbeliever look upon than Jesus. Looking unto Jesus is the exhortation of the apostle in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, where we are called upon to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. There are four directions in which the believer can be looking unto Jesus. We can look back and praise Him. We can look up and trust Him. We can look around and serve Him. We can look forward and expect Him. There are no other directions to look. Abraham, who is called the father of the faithful, had wonderful eyes and used them in these four directions. And so may we. Let us take the example of Abraham for our mutual blessing and consider his experience for our encouragement. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham used his eyes to look back. It is in relation to the story of Isaac, who was being offered upon the altar as a burnt offering, as it is recorded in Genesis chapter 22. At the very critical moment, when Abraham's hand was raised to slay his son, the angel of the Lord intervened and stayed the execution. As soon as Abraham was told not to slay his son, we read in verse 13 of that chapter, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. What great joy and relief it must have been for the heart of Abraham to look behind and find a divinely provided substitute for his beloved son Isaac. The Lord, being satisfied with Abraham's obedience and the completeness of his submission, found it unnecessary for that sacrifice to be completed. And then the eyes of Abraham were lifted to look behind and gaze upon the provided ram caught in a thicket. That backward look must have been one of blessed and precious deliverance in the eyes of Abraham. Have you ever considered that the first direction that anyone can begin looking unto Jesus is to look back? Is not this the first direction that every believing sinner must look to find his and her Savior? My fellow believer, did not you and I look by faith backward to the Son of God hanging upon the cross for our sins that night or that moment that we received Him as our personal Savior? When Moses lifted up the serpent, the brazen serpent, upon a pole in the wilderness as God's remedy for the poisonous bite of the serpent, the Lord said that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live. Numbers 28:21, rather, in verse 8. Did not the Lord Jesus speak to Nicodemus about this incident? When in John 3:14 and 15, the Savior said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. My fellow believer, the very first sight your eyes and mine had in glimpsing the Savior and receiving into our hearts was when we saw Him by faith lifted up upon the cross, our great sin-bearer. That was a wonderful moment when by faith we acknowledged, on the cross for me, see Him hanging there in agony. Jesus paid the price Himself, the sacrifice on the cross for me. We certainly began to enjoy singing the old hymn, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. 'Twas there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. To every guilty sinner, who may yet be without a Savior, we can certainly say, there is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. May all of us look back, and thus upon him there, see him bearing our sin. Let us look upon him and praise him. It was when we saw him on the tree bearing our sin, we began in the history of our soul, looking unto Jesus. But look up and trust him. And when did Abraham look up? In the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, we read of Abraham doing this very thing. In the 4th verse of that chapter, the Lord brings Abraham out into the night. He speaks to Abraham, saying, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And God said unto him, so shall thy seed be. That starry universe around Abraham in that night, he was commanded to look into. Could he count the number of those stars, worlds upon worlds, in the expanding greatness of God's great creation? No, it was impossible. With a naked eye, he could but see a few thousand only. But we know with the telescopic powers of today, there are vast multitudes of stars and galaxies, unknown to us, but existing, we believe, and all beyond our comprehension and computation. But God's promise to Abraham seems almost an impossible one, as God promises him a seed innumerable, numberless as the stars in multitude. But oh, that upward look toward heaven gave Abraham great promises that are being fulfilled and are yet to be fulfilled, as God will do so. What eternal value Abraham must have found as he looked toward the heavens. Far greater than all that the earth could ever possess was given to him, a promise of heavenly blessing. And all Abraham had to do was to take God at his word and look up and trust him. And surely he did. What about the believer in the Lord Jesus today? When by faith we have looked back upon the Savior on Calvary dying for our sins, then immediately there is another direction for the believer to begin looking. And that is, look now toward heaven. We heard the Lord Jesus say to our hearts these words. In fact, did we not begin looking forward to going to heaven? For no longer were we headed for hell. Our eyes were now directed heavenward. And what joy flooded the soul when we realized the truth of the words, which often we have sung, my sins are all forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven, never more to roam. But then, we must continue looking toward heaven as we journey on the road. Our Savior is in heaven. Writes the Apostle Paul, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things upon the earth. Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2. Did not the beloved Apostle also write to the Hebrews, saying in chapter 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus, crowned with glory and honor. My beloved believer, the heavens are open to the faith of a saint. The open heavens are for you and for me to gaze into. And what do we see by faith when we thus look toward heaven? Do we not see the Lord Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God for us? Oh, let us consider three great facts regarding the Lord in heaven on our behalf. First, he is our great high priest in heaven. One of whom Paul, writing to the Hebrews in chapter 4, declares, we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, even Jesus, the Son of God. And he goes on to tell us that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities while we are here on the earth. And he shows and gives to us his grace and his mercy to meet all our needs. Shall we then not look up and trust him? He never will fail to take care of his own. As the hymn writer has well expressed it, we should be simply trusting every day. Trusting even through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small. Trusting Jesus, that is all. And then also, if not only our great high priest, is our great intercessor in heaven. Paul, writing to the Hebrews again in chapter 7 and verse 25, declares, he is able to save to the uttermost, meaning to the very end, them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Why, he never ceases to pray for those who are trusting him as their Savior. Read the Gospel of John in chapter 17. The whole prayer is the high priestly prayer of our Savior for his own. And you will find that in that prayer for his own, he prays that none of them shall ever be lost. He prays that they will be kept. He prays that they'll be with him in the glory with his Father above. And shall we not say, we believe his prayer will be absolutely answered. And we can certainly rejoice to look up and trust him. But then he's also our great advocate in heaven. We have an adversary in the person of Satan that can very readily accuse us, and undoubtedly does so, even before God above, when a saint may sin. But if any man sin, writes the Apostle John in his first epistle chapter 2 verse 1, if any man sin, if any believer sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. It is with joy to realize that the great salvation that our Savior has provided also provides not only for a believing sinner, but for a sinning saint. My beloved fellow believer, may I state to you, when you are immediately accused by the adversary, and I can assure you he's ready to do it, when you and I may have failed, our Savior is there to plead his precious blood, for the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, and the sins of the past, the sins of the present, and the sins that may be in the future, they are under his redeeming blood. What an advocate. Then, my fellow believer, there's a man in the glory of heaven to look upon. Let us look up and trust him. How wonderful are the eyes of faith. O pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus. He'll guide you with unerring hand. Never lose sight of Jesus. We must do as Abraham, look toward heaven. Then third, look around and serve him. There was an important direction for Abraham to take when he was separated from his nephew Lot, as you may read in Genesis chapter 13. Abraham left some choice to Lot, whichever direction he wished to go, he could, and Abraham would take the opposite. Lot made the choice of going toward the well-parted plain, the well-watered plain of Sodom and Gomorrah, as we well know, and Abraham turned to the hill country of Judea. But God's choice was Abraham's choice, for he left the choice with God. And after the separation, God said unto Abraham, lift up thine eyes, look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest of thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Genesis 13 verses 14, 15, and 17. Oh, what a promise! Explore the land, Abraham. It's yours. It's for you to possess, said the Lord. It will be for your seed forever. Look around, Abraham. Serve me in the land. Now, does not this indicate another direction for us to be looking unto Jesus today? Precious to look back and praise him. Blessed to be able to look up and trust him. But let us not forget we should look around and serve him. Whether north or south or east or west, has not the Lord said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16 and verse 15. Has not the Savior declared, and still does he not speak, as he did long ago in John 4:35? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. the need of services in every direction. My blessings are to remember, though the need of service may be in every direction, it does not necessarily imply that we must cross the ocean to the other side of the world, but we must realize it is imperative to serve the Lord right where we are, and then the Spirit of the Lord will lead us further afield if it be His will. How important to begin serving Him right where we are now? The whole world, true, it is a needy field, in every direction. But there may be some right at your doorstep, some needy friend, some needy relative, some needy soul. You can win for the Savior right close to you. And there may be some needy saints that you can serve also. But the great work of the gospel during our age, did it not begin at Jerusalem? Did it not then spread to Judea and on to Samaria and then widened out to embrace the world as the work of the Lord spread abroad? Does not this give us a principle for our own lives of service? Do we not have our own Jerusalem to begin at, right where we are? And if faithful there, He will lead us further to thus serving in a wider scope. Let us not look over the fields at home just to get sight of far distant places. Oh, grant that we shall indeed depend upon the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us in our service and ministry for the Lord. It is a scriptural necessity that every one of us be led of the Holy Spirit so that we can confidently say, the Lord has sent me, wherever we may go for Him. But there's another exhortation that is important on this particular theme. And that is, if I'm going to be a servant, I need to be equipped. The world may be a field for exploration in regard to service, but before I can profitably serve the Lord, I must be spiritually prepared. Certainly, we must not only explore the world as to the field of our labor, we must explore the Bible first, the Word of God. For preparation for service is essential. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, all complete, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. My fellow believer, to look around and serve Him, how necessary to be prepared, and necessary to travel through the university of the Bible from Genesis through to Revelation, learning God's Word, and being made fit to be a servant of the Lord, and thus entering into every classroom that the Bible has, and there's 66 of them, with the Holy Spirit to be our teacher in every one. That will make us a profitable servant for the Lord and for His glory, and we shall be sent by the Holy Spirit, and whatever place in the world it may be, wherever, and it will always be, whether near or far, it will be according to the will of God. Yes, may God the Holy Spirit teach us to look around and serve Him as we keep looking unto Jesus. Last of all, look forward and expect Him. Yes, our father Abraham had wonderful eyes, not only to look back, not only to look up, not only to look around, but also to look forward. Listen carefully to the words of the Lord Jesus as He spoke of Abraham in John's Gospel chapter 8 and verse 56. He addressed His words to the unbelieving Jews of His day. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. The faith in the eyes of Abraham anticipated the coming of the Messiah, even though it was approximately 1,500 years and even more, almost 2,000 years beyond the life of Abraham. But even greater and further than this, the beloved apostle who writes to the Hebrews in chapter 11 tells of Abraham in verse 10, saying that Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There is no doubt the vision of Abraham, so greatly possessed by faith, penetrated not alone to the coming of Christ to the earth, but beyond the very second coming of Christ, the second when the new... Took that in. Not a long range. It's a God that we have.
There's nothing short-sighted about Abraham. He was willing to be a prisoner in his blanket and an entertainment when he knew that his eyes of faith could see in the future of pride upon them. I do not look before the Christians today has such eyes. How many Christians are described by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9 of whom he stands? And he's writing of their spiritual condition. They are blind. They cannot see afar off. They've forgotten that they were purged from their former or their old sins. And they are living for this world. They are certainly earning little for the kingdom which is to come, to which they are going. They are not looking forward and expecting the Savior to appear. Shame upon us if this is so, for our Savior is coming again. And my beloved, please let me say, and let me remind you of Abraham again. Abraham never settled down in Canaan. He was a pilgrim all the time he lived in it, going back and forth, pitching his tent. But beloved, there's no question of doubt we have Christians today, and we may all be included to some degree. How we settle down. I mean settle down in spirit. With not the expectation we should have, that faith should possess. Looking forward, for my beloved fellow believer, what is ahead for you and me in glory far exceeds whatever we could receive and have while here below. He is coming again. We must certainly say we must not only look back and praise him, we must not only look up and trust him, we must not only look around and serve him, but we must also look forward and be expecting him. I wonder if we are. Oh, the responsibility, not only responsibility, but the joy. We raise the question, in what measure are we looking unto Jesus today? One thinks of the lovely old chorus that one has written very well, are the words appropriate. Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today. Even so come, Lord Jesus, taking thy bride away. Oh, how my heart is yearning, longing for thy returning. Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today. Beloved, let's ask our heart, in what measure are we looking forward unto Jesus? Are we like Abraham? May we repeat the opening exhortation of our message? What better occupation could we have than to be looking unto Jesus? What better direction can we be looking than unto Jesus? What better person can we be looking upon than Jesus? Surely the words of that old hymn, which oftentimes we sing, are appropriate. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow, and they'll even stay strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, let us consider a thought before closing. That will be a thought that tells what will be our eternal occupation in heaven, when forever we shall be with the Lord in that glory of the new creation. 'Tis written in chapter 22 of the Revelation, verses 3 and 4. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Do we realize that in eternal glory, fellow believers, we shall always be looking unto Jesus? We shall see his face. We shall never lose sight of him, and his blessed face shall forever be ours to look upon. But how necessary today, please, in the world in which we are, by which we are surrounded with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, how needful today to even now be looking unto Jesus by his grace in faith. And doing as the hymn writer surely has written appropriately, never lose sight of Jesus. Never lose sight of Jesus. Day and night he will lead you right. Never lose sight of Jesus.